the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Tuesday, September 24th, and as the kids say, we're back on our shit.
Back on our shit, and our new shit is that we have a month break in between every episode.
Well, I was thinking today that, like, I know that a lot of stuff, I guess, there is a lot of stuff to talk about, but it is kind of a dead space.
It is. In the year. The summer is the perfect time to take a little month vacation from putting this out there, but we're back. I mean, there's going to be enough stuff to talk about every week. First practices for teams are on Saturday.
Wow. Why did it start on a Saturday?
That's a bummer. Saturday. Everybody goes to work on a Saturday. Yeah. It's a Saturday daytime work thing.
I thought we'd kick it off with you on a Saturday.
Ooh.
Immediate day off on Sunday? Or do you...
No. You go two-a-days. It's two-a-days, Saturday, Sunday. Then you get the whole week off. It's like inverse work.
Right. Basketball, they don't do two-a-days, do they?
No.
Like 7 a.m. It's amazing, actually, the relationship between team and player basketball versus, like, football.
Yeah.
Football has such a, like, we'll fucking wake you up at, like, 8 a.m.
You have to live in a dorm in a city that you don't live in. When you're a professional. Professional teams do that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They really still treat them as if they're, like high school players.
Yeah. I remember in high school, you know, waking up and getting to 7 a.m. practice and then going home, having lunch, you know, walking home and then walking back for 3 p.m. practice.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's awful.
And did you do the thing where you're in a circle and they call numbers and guys try to hit you? That was a big thing in Texas when I was playing football.
Probably.
So basically the 1 through 11 in a circle, and the guy in the middle has full pads on.
Yeah.
And the coach just calls out numbers. And the number, if they call your number, you just charge the guy in the center.
Oh.
Full speed.
No, we do the drill where you were lined up against somebody. Both of you were on the ground, face down.
Yes.
And then they get up and you try to run over the other guy.
We did that in rugby. But the one with the ring, I think it might be called even bull in the ring or whatever, was banned in Texas.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds about right.
Kids were getting concussions.
Yeah, concussions, murdered, you know, the whole deal. Here's the thing when you're doing football, you gotta get people who are of similar size to hit each other in practice. Otherwise, you're just gonna injure your team.
Well, for what state I was reading in, now they're doing complete no contact practices. Might be New Jersey.
That makes total sense.
Where they just practice tackle technique and the credibility of it is that the guy leading the charges, he's won like 4 state championships or whatever.
Yeah.
But we don't give a shit about any of that.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah. Fuck kids and safety. Pull that quote out.
Put it under
signed Chris Grace.
Yeah.
But it is amazing that there's this little gap in the year because, you know, we've talked a lot about how NBA almost seems to be like a year-round thing.
Yeah.
But there is like a little 6-week period where it's like, all the signings are done.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there wasn't news. You know, did you miss LeBron James filing for a trademark on Taco Tuesday?
I heard about that.
Right, that's NBA news.
I did hear about that.
You know, you hear about, Team USA in the World Cup. That's NBA news.
Yes, I did hear about this.
You know, and I want to go into some detail about this.
Sure. First, I'll just say that remember when I was in Australia and it was hard to watch basketball?
Yes.
It's also hard to watch even FIBA basketball in the UK.
Yeah. China and the UK are not, they're like basically opposite time zones, right?
They're pretty far apart.
I mean, it feels like they're basically the 12-hour difference. Like, if it's noon, it's midnight over there.
Well, also, Australia and the UK do this weird thing where if you go to NBA.com, it forwards you to, like, in the UK, you go to Sky Sports.
Ooh, yeah, the official partner of the NBA for online.
But it's not what I want. I want to be able to go to NBA.com/stats and look up stuff, right? Because as usual, I got in a few arguments with people on Reddit.
I know you had a wonderful vacation where you were, you know, seeing the sights and going to see plays and performing and producing and all that stuff. But I know as soon as you got home from all those things, you got on your computer.
That was in the UK.
No, I know. I got home at night. Like to your hotel room.
Oh, yes.
And argued with strangers on the internet.
Oh, and even stay at home during the day to either argue on Reddit or play Dota.
Well, because here's the thing. If you argue at night in the UK, you're not going to get these people. You got to argue during the daytime.
Well, also, sometimes on NBA Reddit, you will, you know, it's a UK person arguing about basketball because they spelled defense with a C. And then you're like, you don't know shit.
You don't know shit. I may be infiltrating your country right now, but you don't know shit about basketball.
Yeah. But yeah, I got an argument about someone saying Russell Westbrook could just up his mid-range shooting game to do the same thing that Chris Paul did. And I was like, Chris Paul was like a elite mid-range shooter, and what? Russell Westbrook was one of the worst.
What an absolute Sophie's choice of arguments for you to have to make.
You know, I have to argue for Chris Paul's competence.
Or argue for Russell Westbrook's ability to improve his mid-range game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, honestly, don't you just hate yourself for involving yourself in that conversation?
I'm amazed by how many people in, not even our NBA, but our NBA discussion, feel that, like, they're just such good friends, man. They'll figure out, they'll both change their games to figure out how to play. And it's like, what evidence do you have that Westbrook will change his game based on personal relationships with close friends?
Yeah. I mean, what is he going to change his game into being like DJ Augustine? I just don't get it.
Yeah. Also, complete side note, I picked up Hearthstone again.
Oh, welcome back.
Talk about a game that makes you mad.
I mean, you know, it's not maddening if you play Battlecry Shaman and you rock the
fuck
ladder.
Fuck Battlecry Shaman. It's That's so
right.
annoying.
I'm up Actually, to rank 7 right well, now, baby.
I'm so annoyed by all the quests that are like, do this 4 times and you get the, like, they're, like, the only quest card that I got was the Warlock quest, which sucks.
You know what? It's kind of fun to play.
It's fun to
just
play.
Just drawing and shuffling.
It's
and
fun
all
to
that
play,
stuff.
But it sucks.
I mean,
it loses a
do
lot.
Do you have a Betrug also, or did you craft one?
What's that?
It's the 8 mana 5/7. When you draw a card, summon a copy with Rush that dies at the end of turn.
Oh, no. I'll look at that. I did get, I got Plot Twist and all that stuff. But anyway, Hearthstone made me mad. Dota made me mad.
Oh.
Our NBA makes me mad.
Are you gonna get a Switch Lite? Is that gonna make you mad?
Ooh, I've heard they're very good.
I mean, I am interested. You know?
The thing is that I rarely use my Switch off of the TV. Like, I have now been on like 4 12-hour flights in the last 6 months and didn't use a Switch once.
Well, yeah, then no. Then you're not gonna do it.
Pro tip, your Switch has to be taken out just like an iPad. At security.
Yes, it does.
At least in the America, too.
Yeah.
Also, I've been to airports where you don't have to take any of that stuff out.
Yeah, everything's different at every airport.
So, because I didn't take the Switch out on the way home from London, my security took an hour instead
fun.
Of 5 minutes.
Fun. That's got
to
be so fun.
Not because of anything. Like, he looked at the Switch. He's like, oh, well, there you need to take it out next time. But there were 7 bags ahead of me on the little... The little side jog that the bag goes to, and you see, I actually saw people where their bag would be up that little window, and then they'd see it move to the side, and one guy was like, no, when it happened. It was actually kind of enjoyable.
And then it happened to you, and then it was so much
it
less
It already
enjoyable.
Happened to me, and I was like, I felt his pain.
It lessened the blow because you got to see the humor in it when it happened to somebody else.
Well, also, it was amazing. I got to see the insane things that people bring in their carry-on bags.
Oh, yeah.
That they think they can pass.
Oh, yeah.
Like a 400 milliliter bottle of Ralph Lauren cologne that they just bought. Like a giant bottle of liquid.
Everybody knows you buy that once you're inside the airport
and then
the Ralph Lauren store.
The guy just threw it away. He was like, he was like, you can't take, what are you doing?
Oh, no. And also, like, you don't have to throw it. You can check it.
Check it. Yeah, of course. Check it.
What a nightmare.
The Beastie Boys would say, check it.
I did some air travel.
Oh, did you?
Recently, and I flew on a flight that had no carry-on restriction. That was
restriction.
My ticket. Yeah, it was my restriction that I could not carry on a bag.
Oh, yikes. At all? No personal item?
I could carry a personal item.
Which means a nice little fanny pack.
I mean, I took my laptop bag. I was just a 36-hour resident of Cincinnati over the weekend, and I packed my stuff tight.
I'm going to guess this was a wedding.
This was a wedding. Yeah,
I went
to a wedding.
You were in the party or not?
I was not in the party.
This is an old college friend.
This is a high school friend.
On the football team?
No, on the newspaper.
Newspaper team.
Newspaper team. Yeah. I mean, those two teams fought each other at our school.
You know, in Texas, where I'm from, newspaper is a competitive thing. I don't know if you had that.
We were here. Competitive. I didn't get on sophomore or junior year, and then I got on senior year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean that the in Texas, there are academic competitions for newspaper.
We submitted to newspaper competitions, and I don't know if we won any awards.
I'm amazed that you didn't make it on in the like staff.
I was also amazed. It was something that made me very angry because I didn't make it on the staff because I played football. Because in the spring when I was trying out for the newspaper, uh-huh. I was also doing spring football practice and I couldn't devote enough time to the newspaper and they decided not to take me.
It's just weird because like if I was a teacher trying to get a newspaper going, I'd be like, I'll take anybody.
Yeah, our newspaper was good enough where they had enough people they didn't need to take me. And I basically got on because senior year I was friends with everybody who was in a position of power. And it wasn't, our teacher didn't run it. Our teacher was just the advisor.
Ours was we ran the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. There was like an editorial staff then.
Yeah. It was quite an experience being on both of those things, especially because the newspaper broke a story about how our quarterback, running back, and best defensive lineman got arrested outside of the school. We had a picture of it. And it ran in our newspaper, and then all three of those people got expelled during the middle of our season.
Oh, no.
It was a nightmare. It was so much to deal with as a 17, 18-year-old.
You could have had, all the president's men, corruption. You could have, undermined the story.
I could have, and I chose not to due to my journalistic integrity.
Right.
Also, I was the technical editor at the newspaper, so that meant I did Photoshop and InDesign and all that stuff. But also, my job was to bring a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, and a little small TV, and put it in the editor-in-chief's office, and then print us out cards that got us out of class whenever we wanted to for journalism.
Oh,
and then instead of doing journalism, we just play video games instead of being in dumb.
Were you printing cards that resembled other cards, or were
we forged a pass that was like a get off of campus pass. Wow. Get out of class pass.
Yeah. Wow. Super Nintendo now available
Switch. On the Switch.
Are you going to buy Super Nintendo controllers?
I want one.
I think I'm going to.
I want one.
Just one?
Just one, yes. Whoever else is there can play with a fucking regular controller.
Do I need to is it meaningful for me to get the Super Nintendo controllers when I already have the NES controllers?
First off, why did you buy the NES controllers?
Because when you offer me to buy something and then you say that it's only exclusive people that, not everyone can buy it.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, I'll buy it.
Okay. You bought it.
Same thing with this.
Yeah. I one of the reasons I'm going to buy just one is because it feels like, so I already have an 8-bit, 8-bit do or whatever.
8-bit do.
8-bit do.
I heard those are good.
SNES controller. And so if somebody really is like, I want to play with a controller like that, they can use that one. And the... It's just those Super Nintendo controllers, still, in my opinion, the best controller ever.
I would go with the one of the Xbox ones, either way. And also, my iPhone now.
Oh, yeah?
You can use Xbox and PS4.
Very exciting.
Those DualShocks are pretty good controllers, too.
I like them, but they're not the best.
Okay, am I going to buy NBA 2K20?
I mean, have you bought it already?
I have not. It was on sale on the Nintendo Switch. And then I thought, I should probably buy it on my Xbox One.
Yeah.
It's probably better quality.
Buy it for the home system. Don't buy it for your Switch. Buy it for the home system.
And then I played a little, on the Switch, they had a little demo of it that you could download. And I don't know.
I mean, I got 2K19 when it was on sale for $3.
Yes, I remember you telling me that.
So...
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I mean, I played 10 games and now I'm not going to play it anymore.
Yeah, I feel like it's still so... I feel like the last 15 years of NBA video games has been so muddy and feels so muddy.
That's fair. I mean, I really liked 2K14, but that's because I could become hilariously overpowered with a 7'5" point guard. And they didn't have the controls in to make sure that you couldn't make all your stats super high.
This is, of course, pre-Giannis.
Pre-Giannis.
And then now they're like, oh, there is a 7-foot point guard?
There is already, yeah.
He's like somebody we made in a game.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we forgot to put the restrictions on?
Should we make Pinocchio his nickname? Is he Pinocchio? Is he the video game boy come to life?
Yes.
All right.
Until he tells lies.
Yeah. and then his arms just grow longer?
And NBA Live is still a thing, right?
It is, but it is not yet a thing this year.
Okay.
It is not out yet.
I'm amazed that that franchise is still going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I bought NBA Live 19, and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $15 when I got it.
They are similar in their controls in that they're both kind of what I'm calling muddy, right?
You know, and I know what you mean.
They're trying to reflect the reality of a person changing direction.
Yes.
Which I find not fun in video games.
Yeah, which is why you should play, you know, I don't know,
NBA Street Legend or whatever it is.
Batman Arkham City and pretend it's basketball. I don't know. Like play something where the character moves the way you want it to, like Celeste. You know, play Celeste.
Yeah. Celeste is downloaded on my Switch, not played yet.
What?
I have like 19 games on my Switch.
Yeah.
Though.
Okay. Celeste is what you
Nidhogg got. 2 is actually very fun.
I like Nidhogg. Those are fun games.
This is why. So what I'm saying is, like, if NBA 2K20 is the muddy, realistic version where you have to be kind of, you can't just like blow by people and do crazy moves, then I'm surprised that NBA Live still kind of lives in the same world.
Yeah.
That it doesn't go a little bit more like NBA Lite, like somewhere in between NBA 2K and Jam.
Yeah.
That's a little more just like, this is for fun.
Yeah.
I think part of the NBA 2K thing is that I think I got the one where the one that Spike Lee directed.
Yes.
And the game overall just starts to feel so serious.
Yeah.
After a while.
I mean, basketball's serious business. Because here's the thing. Basketball isn't serious business.
No.
It's fun. It's fun, and everything about basketball is fun unless you're a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I guess maybe the Spike Lee one
reflected the moribund prospects of being a Knicks fan.
Okay, we figured it out.
Okay, we figured it out. What we figured out is that these NBA video games are orientated to a New York Knicks fan mindset.
Oh, what a bummer.
So what we need is a game like that's aligned with like a Lakers mindset.
Yeah.
Which is everything rules. We live in the best city in the world.
Hell yeah. Let's go Lakers.
I've been in Sydney. I've been in London this year, and I still like LA better.
Great.
So it's good. What's great about that is I live here. So
I've got a real negative LA perspective staying in my house right now.
Oh, why?
My mother, who lived in LA for, you know.
Oh, you're not. It's not your perspective.
It's not my perspective.
No.
You know, lived in LA for 50 years and then recently moved out to New Mexico.
Oh, so she's got a positive Albuquerque or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she has just not stopped complaining about traffic and how crowded LA is. And like, you know, she's here on vacation and she's like not doing anything. Because she doesn't want to do anything.
Oh, okay.
She's like, I've seen it all. I've been everywhere. I know LA. And it's like, well, there's like other stuff you can do.
Yeah, plus there's new stuff.
There's new stuff. You know, we could, you know, go do something. And yesterday she was like, I don't want to do anything.
She's like, I've been to Schwab's.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you have been to Schwab's. But, so I flew out of the airport on Friday and she dropped me off at the airport at like 2:30. And she said it took 2 hours to get from LAX to Hollywood. And I'm like, did you just take the wrong route? Like, there's no way at 2 p.m. on a Friday. She rented a car.
Uh-huh.
And I think she's just, like, got it in her head that L.A. traffic is an evil thing that she can't deal with. But the truth of the matter is, for people in L.A., it's not as bad as people make it out to be. Like, it can be bad, but on the average, it's, like, just, like, normal bad.
I don't know because I've never had a 9-to-5 job here.
Ah.
So I've never had to be on the road between 7 and 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Or between, you know, I will later today when I pick up my husband, Eric, who's coming home from London, whose flight lands at 5:25 p.m., which I consider a not ideal time for me to drive to LAX.
Yeah, that's fair.
Before I left a couple days in London early. And Saturday I was like, hey, when is your flight land? And he was like, I don't know, I'll look it up. And I was like, because if it's rush hour, maybe you should take an Uber. Because I was like, otherwise it's potentially 3 hours round trip for me.
Yeah.
That idea did not go over well.
No, you're not going to get a solid yes on that. But here's my recommendation. Take La Brea.
Take La Brea.
Yeah.
Just all the way down?
Like get over to La Brea. Don't go on the freeway.
Okay, so I go over to La Brea.
Yeah.
Head south.
Head south on La Brea until you hit, you know, Century, take Century to LAX, and then take side streets back, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially where you are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just, here's my tip.
We'll give out my exact address.
Take La Brea.
You know what? I'm going to try it.
Yeah, give it a go. And if it doesn't work, don't blame me, blame the system.
blame too many people knowing the same information.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Casey, first of all, while we were gone, we lost the world championship.
We did. And I have a hot take about this.
Ooh.
Are you ready?
Ooh.
Hot take. Who gives a fuck?
Well, yeah.
I mean, this is your normal take. This is how
I don't
feel,
think
probably.
I don't know how hot this take is.
But I think, you know, American exceptionalism is overrated.
Oh, you mean in terms of, oh, I see. That's a different way of thinking about it.
Right?
I meant who cares in that, like, who cares about this championship?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be great if we won. It's fun. But how much more fun is it if there's a question about whether we win or lose?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right? You know, the first Dream Team was cool. The second Dream Team was kind of cool. And the third Dream Team, it's like, who cares it now? Right? Like, it turns what could be something fun into something that just is stressful if you don't win it.
I agree as well. If we want to optimize for maximum human happiness...
I would like to optimize for maximum human happiness.
Set your setting to that. The American players also don't care that much about it.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody like Marc Gasol really cares about it. So, like, don't you want the people who really care about something to get it? Like, if the American team won, I'm sure they would be happy. They'd be mostly happy because everyone doubted them so much, right?
Yeah.
But, like, people in Europe would be crushed, the other teams. Like,
yeah.
You know, because they actually care about FIBA.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Let the people that really care about it win.
Yeah, definitely. And also, we didn't earn anything. There's nothing that's given to USA basketball. USA basketball did not put together a winning team.
And they basically finished probably where they deserved to. It wasn't like, oh, they should have won.
I mean, they came in as a favorite. Them and Serbia were like favorites to win.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that.
Right, but that's just because
they had
past.
Joe Harris on that team, right?
They did have Joe Harris.
Like, Joe Harris was one of the better players on that team.
Joe Harris started.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's not a team that you should be like, they're the favorites. They came in what, like fifth?
They came in seventh.
Oh, boy.
So they came in seventh, and not only did they come in seventh, they came in seventh with the Celtics, which is like what happens to the Celtics. Right.
Actually, I think that also tempers that kind of makes it more fun in general.
That is, yeah.
That they basically had the Celtics.
And they lost. You know, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. You know, that's it. There you go. That's the Celtics.
Still, if you have the three of them on the court.
You think, oh, wow, those three guys, they definitely could lead this team to a fifth place finish in the East and then lose in the first round.
Yeah, and they got seventh place in the East of the world.
Yeah, this is true. They were in the East.
They were in the Far East division. And so Marc Gasol now is the only person to win a title and a FIBA in the same year, I believe.
That is not from the USA.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, from the USA, it doesn't really count.
It doesn't count.
Yeah.
I think there were something like 13 players. I think it was something like, I don't know, 8 or 9 men's and 3 or 4 women's players who had won a championship in a league and then also won a world title in the same summer.
What a good year for Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol. You know, it feels like he was at a poker table with $100 and then he just went all in 20 times and won the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It wasn't that like waking up on the Grizzlies and then being like, oh, everything sucks. And then the next day you've won both of the championships that are available in the sport of basketball in summer.
Did he go to the Raptors midseason?
Midseason.
Was it at mid-season. The break?
It was about the trade, yeah.
Right. That was when the Grizzlies were basically like, you guys are great. We're not going to go anywhere with you. Let us send you to a place that's decent.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to look at when the last time Spain won was. Because does Pau also have a world championship?
Pau did not play in this.
I don't mean this one. I mean, like, was Pau on a world championship winning team?
I don't think so. I think the time that the U.S. didn't win, it was with Italy.
Ah.
I can't remember. No, it was Argentina that won that year. It wasn't Italy.
So they won it in 2006 as well.
Oh, so then Pau does have a World Cup?
I will look it up, but Mark has two.
Oh, so and yeah, then Pau, so does, Pau has the 2006.
So does Rudy Fernandez.
Rudy Fernandez!
He has two world championships.
Love that guy. Man, I miss Rudy Fernandez.
I mean, bring him back.
Bring him back. Time to bring back R. Fernandez.
All right, what else happened while we were gone?
We had just an amazing look at the newest hottest young NBA star, up and coming, rising up draft boards.
This is who, the future draft pick?
Future draft pick. There are rumblings that he should be in conversations for the number one pick based off his recent play.
Wow.
And I'm going to give you just like a couple of guesses as to who this young man is, what his name is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like out of the blue?
That's... out of the blue. Like,
okay. You know, how old is he?
He is 17, 18. He's going to be,
he's a high school.
He's a high school.
Like going into his senior in high school or something?
Yeah.
Or?
He's like senior year-ish in high school.
Okay.
He will be draft eligible this year.
Oh, so is he played a year in college or
no,
is that rule going
on? He has not played a year in college. He's not going to play in college.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's not going to play a year in college and he's draft eligible. Is that because they changed the rule?
No.
There's something else about this.
Yeah.
Wait, is he American?
He is American.
He's an American kid,
yeah,
who has gone to an American high school.
Sort of.
Okay. Is not going to go to college.
Not going to go to college.
Is draft eligible.
Is draft eligible.
For the 2020 draft.
That is correct.
And he's playing with, oh wait, LaMelo.
LaMelo?
Yeah, 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 LaMelo.
LaMelo.
Wait, how is he draft eligible?
Because
he's pro already or something?
He has graduated high school. He's age graduated high school.
And then a year has passed.
He's going to be playing in the Australian League.
Wow.
And apparently he is playing so well that he might be the best player in Australia, is what scouts are saying.
Uh-huh.
Like, he may win the MVP of the NBL.
Wow. So he's like Luka.
He's like Luka.
It's the American Luka.
He's the American Luka. And that is literally what Jonathan Givony said about him in the article on ESPN today.
Like draft. Oh, boy.
That he looked like Luka Doncic.
Yeah. This is definitely not true. This is not
okay.
Good. This is
definitely, this they is, say he's in the conversation, right? Yeah. The mock draft still has him at the number three pick, which is still wild, right?
Very wild. Yeah, no.
No?
Bad idea.
Really?
Don't draft him that high.
Oh, even if they say he doesn't act like we expected him to act, he's a true professional. All of his teammates love him. He's playing out of his mind.
Uh-huh.
And the former defensive player of the year gave him, let him have 19, 13, and 7.
You're talking about Ray Lewis?
Yes. Yeah. Ray Lewis gave him 19, 13, and 7.
Who was that?
A guy in the NBL, their defensive player of the year last year.
Uh-huh.
He was guarding LaMelo Ball, and LaMelo Ball tore him up to 19 points, 13 rebounds, and 7 assists. Apparently, he's tall, he's quick, he's strong. He's got a pass-first vision. He's like, what if Lonzo Ball could make shots? Like, that is, like, apparently it's going nuts. It's going down with LaMelo Ball in Australia, and people are getting hyped.
Yeah.
Well, and you're not falling for it.
No, I think that we've talked about enough drafts now where we know that these motherfuckers don't have any idea who's good or not.
Okay.
And that they... And I'm not saying that I do either, except that I am right in this case and he's not good. I mean, he'll be fine.
He hasn't said anything about Big Baller Brand.
I'd like to see some...
LeVar has not been around the team at all.
Mm-hmm.
He is out of the Ball in the Family Facebook show. He's completely focused on basketball. The hype is there. People are surprised.
You know what?
People expected it to be a joke, and they're saying it's not a joke.
I will watch some highlights.
Ooh.
I will say that much.
I love that I've got you intrigued.
Well, my main issues with him would be that... this is what I would assume that his body has changed a significant amount.
Yes, he's tall now. He's
so
like 6'8".
That would be something that you'd need to have happen.
Yeah.
And also, I've just seen a lot of him playing like high school AAU style basketball. So if I, you know,
where
watch
he looks
some highlights.
Like a little shit who's just shooting... pole
he's just chucking up shit from super far.
Yeah,
so maybe he is, you know what,
and he no longer looks like what if the Joker was playing basketball
right
as a teenager,
right
he looks like somebody who's an adult playing basketball.
You know what, good for him. I like Lonzo, so you know.
See?
Maybe we get LiAngelo back in the mix too.
I mean, hey, if Kostas Antetokounmpo can play for Kostas is the one who's playing for the Bucks this year, right?
No,
Kostas is a two-way player for the Lakers, and Thanasis is the Bucks signed him to a two-year deal.
Right.
If Thanasis Antetokounmpo can play, then why can't LiAngelo Ball play?
Yeah. I mean, like LA's offseason, of course, we dominated as usual because we got Anthony Davis and we got Antetokounmpo.
Oh, yeah.
We'll just say it like that.
Yeah, those are the two names that we got.
The big names we got this year are Davis and Antetokounpo.
Yes, yeah. So, those two people are just the names that we got.
Who else you need on the team.
No.
Pau Gasol was in the 2006 World Championship team.
Amazing.
He was named to the all-tournament team, which they won the final game. He didn't play in the final game. They beat Greece 70-47.
That is large.
Yeah. Greece beat the U.S. in the semifinal round.
Yep, in that tournament. That was a long time ago.
But just out of like a little bit of curiosity here.
Yeah.
Who do you think was the leading scorer in that tournament per game?
Overall?
Yeah, although he didn't really play. Oh, wait, he didn't play too many games.
In 2006.
2006.
Oh, boy.
I'll give you from the number five leading scorer was Larry Ayuso from Puerto Rico.
Great.
Number four was Carlos Arroyo.
Okay, from Dominican?
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico again.
Number three was Pau Gasol, 21.
Okay.
And the top two you would know for sure. Two high-scoring big men.
Got it. Kevin Garnett.
Nope. These are not Americans.
Dun, dun, dun. These are not Americans. Okay. How about... who's the... Andrea Bargnani. No, he was a 2008 draft.
No, these are like NBA elite players.
Oh.
Big man scoring.
Got it.
Possibly one of the best big man scorers of all time.
Dirk Nowitzki.
It was number two.
Number two. Okay, yeah.
And then number one.
Oof. Number one in that time. Who could it be?
He's not American or European.
Oh, okay. Carlos Boozer. No, sorry.
He's not South American or Australian.
Oh.
He's Eastern.
Yao Ming.
Yeah, Yao Ming.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
And by the way, Pau Gasol was the MVP of the tournament.
Wow.
Without even playing in the final.
Congrats.
Other people on the all-tournament team. Theodoros Papaloukas.
Ah, welcome. Theodoros. You know
him? No. Manu Ginobili.
Okay. Yeah. I know who that guy is.
Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, U.S. team Carmelo, yes. Back in the highlights.
And someone else from Spain, Jorge Garbajosa.
I remember him. He played in the league for a little bit.
So I just think that's an unfortunate name for someone.
Yeah.
What else happened? We should do a divisional preview.
Oh, we have got a divisional preview all lined up.
Okay, so previously we did... let's see. We did the Southeast Division previously.
Yeah.
And did we do a Western Division?
We did.
Okay, so that would have been the... was that the Northwest?
We did the Southwest.
Oh, we did the Southwest. Okay, so going in reverse order, which ones are the lamest divisions? I sense that this week, we're going to do... the Central.
You're incorrect.
Oh, no.
We are doing the Northwest Division.
Northwest,
today.
Okay. Equally kind of a division I don't care to talk about. But
oh.
No, I mean, because the best team in this division is probably a team that I despise.
Yeah, you hate them Nugs.
I do.
But astute readers will be able to tell what my criteria is for this and the order that I'm going in.
Oh,
so and you'll be able to figure out now as well once I've told you that there is an order. But we're going to start here with the old free from the grasps of Mr. Thibodeau's clutches, the old Minnesota Timberwolves.
The Minnesota Timberwolves. I just went to the Yahoo page for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And can I tell you what the top headline on this page is? I think this reflects very much the situation of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Can we trade Andrew Wiggins at all?
No. I'm quoting from... This is like, you know, Yahoo like compiles like these are recent significant articles about this team.
Got it.
This article is ESPN ranks Robert Covington 97th best player in NBA. That is the top of your news feed for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
That's a real nightmare because he's the second best player on that team.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're going to put Karl Anthony Towns up in the top 25.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then below him, like Wiggins isn't better. Saric isn't better. The other, you know, nightmare of a team that they have up there are not going to be better than 97th. So, yeah, good job.
Now, did Ryan Saunders take over mid-season?
Mid-season.
Okay, he's Flip's son, I assume.
Yes, he is. He came on as an interim head coach, and instead of keeping an interim tag, they hired him at the end of the season to be their full-time coach.
Okay. Right. I don't have any real feelings about that, except that I do think that Thibodeau was... I don't think he should get another head coaching job.
Ooh. He should spend the rest of his time... on the sidelines at ESPN, going to the jump and making grinny faces.
Sure. I just feel like he runs people into the ground.
Yeah, he does.
And to no effect. Like, it's not like, yeah, I don't know.
What if you did a, like, our team is really shitty this season, so we're going to take our coach and have him go on a vacation for a year and bring in Thibodeau to, like, grind everybody up, and then next year, it'll be like, oh, God, thank God we don't have that fucking asshole anymore.
That's possible, except that's like that you might injure some people in that year.
Yeah, you could. Who's the guy who, like, the first couple of years? Oh, Scott Skiles.
Uh-huh.
Like, the first couple of years.
Oh, everyone
like,
loves
whip
him?
These, no. I whip these teams into shape.
Uh-huh.
I get them going, and then by year two and a half, it's like, oh, we fucking hate this guy, and we don't want to play for him anymore.
Larry Brown's like that, too.
Yeah. I mean, and Larry Brown did that. He'd like go to a new job every 2 years because people got tired of his shit.
Yeah, but you know what? He teaches people to play the right way.
Yeah, and he and Allen Iverson famously got along and then didn't get along and then got along and then didn't get along. And...
Yeah. So, okay, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are we done with Andrew Wiggins? Is he done? Is his career just like...
His career is over, which is to say he's got 5 years left on a $100 million contract.
Yeah. I mean, over in terms of
relevancy
and
reputation.
Can he be an all-star?
No. Andrew Wiggins?
I'm just saying.
I mean, he could be an all-star, I don't know, in a different league than the one that we have today. I mean, there's just no way in the West that he'll ever be an all-star over.
Could he be an all-star fringe level player is my question.
Oh, no.
I feel bad about that for some reason. And I really shouldn't because he's the son of an NBA player and he's probably wealthy. He was probably wealthy his whole life. So, like, I don't know why I feel bad for him. But I feel bad for someone... And I guess I don't feel bad for Anthony Bennett because I don't even really know who he is.
Like, yeah.
He went number one and then sort of just never became anything.
I mean, and, you know, that dude works. Like, he toils away in the G League. He's trying, right? And Anthony Bennett doesn't... I don't know. I feel like he doesn't deserve the scorn because, like, it's not like he chose to get picked first.
Right.
Andrew Wiggins, you know, he didn't choose to get picked first either, but he's had all this heaped upon him, and he's just never gotten better, and he's never been an efficient player in the league. Never.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen for him.
I would say after his third year, I would have still been encouraged. I'm just looking at his numbers.
Yeah.
In his third year, he scored 24 points a game. And he shot 45%.
Which is fine.
36% from three.
Which is also league average fine.
So, but I think after 3 years, you'd be like, hey, you know what? He's coming along. I mean, 20-4, isn't he like 7 feet tall?
No.
6'10"?
He's 6'9".
I would want someone to get more than 4 rebounds a game.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything but put a... Yeah.
Okay, so then... Is it possible that he just is in a slump, in a Thibodeau-related slump? Because he's only been in the league 2 more years after that year that I think is actually a pretty good year.
Yeah.
And he's really kind of fallen off since then. Last year, he shot 41% from the field.
Yeah.
Which you don't want to have happen.
Real bad.
And what I would say the thing that's probably most depressing is that his stats last year are pretty much his stats from his rookie year. And not much better.
Yeah.
So that's not the best. Someone who's been in the league 5 years. Also, someone who is coming from, he's aware of the league. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's aware of the professionalism that a league player needs to have because he's come from someone who was in it already. So, so I would assume, I bet that he knew a lot of people in the league growing up. You know what I mean? I bet he was exposed to the culture of it very early. So that's a little depressing that he's been in the league 5 years and hasn't shown like significant improvement.
Yeah. I mean, he's played in the league for 400 games and he scored about 20 points a game. And while that sounds good, I'd much rather take somebody who scores 12 points a game and actually contributes to his team winning. Like, it just never feels like Andrew Wiggins makes you win.
Okay. I got a hot take right here.
Hot take.
Andrew Wiggins is going to win most improved.
This year?
This year.
Wait, are you hot taking that because you're like the stove is too cold or like is it like freezing in here? Like we're supposed to be in the middle of a heat. Like what possible reason? Do you actually believe this?
I'm just, well, you got to, you know, it's a little bit of a reach, but I think he'll win most improved because he's got a fresh start, fresh training camp with a new coach.
Okay.
I don't know anything about Ryan Saunders. If he's like Flip, he's offensively oriented.
Yeah.
So, and he's probably like, hey, one of my jobs as a coach is to like rekindle this kid's career.
Okay.
So I've been thinking the whole summer about how to do it, and we're going to wipe the slate clean, get rid of all the bad karma, and we're not going to think about Steven Jackson, and we're going to start the new season, and he's going to score 20 points a game, he's going to grab 5 rebounds, and he's going to get his field goal percentage up to 48.
Okay.
And that's going to be enough to get most improved.
That sounds like, wow. I don't know if that's possible. I strongly disagree with this hot take. I think this take is cold. I think this take is bad. I think this take is...
Well, those are all things that make a take hot.
Hard-boiled eggs in a fridge.
Because the hot take part is that the more... The less of a good opinion is, the hotter the take.
Okay, that's all right. That is true. You have corrected me on this.
So how do you think the Timberwolves are going to do this year?
I'm going to say that the Timberwolves are going to underperform based upon last year's numbers.
You think they're going to do worse than last year?
Yes, I do.
Oof.
I think they're going to do worse than last year, and I think they're going to win 32 games.
Wow. Yeah. Yikes. By the way, what do they add in offseason or draft?
Well, they added nothing and they have nobody.
Oh, good.
So they didn't do anything in the offseason.
Right. Are they going to be like the Knicks of the West for people that are fans of them? Like,
yeah.
Just a frustrating team to be associated with?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, yeah, I'm sorry. They did do something in the offseason. They signed Jake Layman and they signed Jordan Bell.
Wow.
So, congratulations. They drafted Jarrett Culver, who is a shooting guard from Texas Tech.
Okay.
They're not good, and they're not going to be good.
Yeah, they'll definitely miss the playoffs. But, you know, I don't know why. I like Minnesota.
Somebody's got to be a team that wins 32 games, right? Like,
that's true.
There's going to be, in this division, which is a division that has a lot of teams that want to do good.
And in the conference, which has tons of teams trying to get in those top 8 slots. And in a conference that last year, Dallas was a very fun team to watch.
Yeah.
They won 33 games.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, even a team with, like, hey, that guy is actually pretty good at basketball.
Yeah.
There's going to be a team like that that wins 32. And the guy that's pretty good at basketball on this team is Andrew Wiggins. And he's going to win most improved.
Oh, boy.
Who do you think is going to come in fourth in this division?
Well, I mean, I'm going in order from last year's place, and if I'm being honest with you, the team that I think is going to come in fourth is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Ooh.
So, but last year,
that makes sense actually.
The fourth team, it was the Oklahoma City Thunder,
right?
Which, if I'm looking at my data correctly, they were relegated and they are no longer a team this year.
Yeah, they're playing in the regional premiership.
The regional premiership. Yeah. That is wild. Oklahoma City has nothing.
Now, this is what I love about European sports.
Yeah.
Because I do love that, having played on a rugby team for a little while.
Yeah.
If you play in the UK, or I think Australia is like this too, you play at your local club.
Yeah.
Your local club also has like four teams. One of them is really good, like a touring team.
Yeah.
And then if that team's really good, they can move up a division.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, we have all this money. Let's build a better little stadium.
Yeah.
And eventually, if you wanted to, your local like soccer club could get into like the premiership.
Oh, yeah.
Just winning their like championship, moving up.
Something like 10 divisions.
Yeah.
In professional soccer in the UK. And like at the bottom is like semi-pro. But
well, at the very, very bottom is like your local amateur.
Yeah.
Like, and what's cool is like you can actually have this weird connection between you. And by the way, I lived in London this for 3 weeks this past one, next to the Arsenal Stadium.
Oh, old Wembley?
No, Wembley's like way. I think it might be called the Arsenal Stadium. But by the way, that area gets insane.
Yeah.
I can't. So many drunken people. And I almost like, should I just root for Arsenal since I kind of live here?
I mean, I have plenty of people who would love the Emirates Stadium.
Well, what I need is I need a map that tells me what NBA team the Arsenal is like.
Okay. All right. I'll find the buzz.
Because I can't root for Arsenal and then they're like, oh, this is the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I like about that, though, is that the mobility between divisions is really interesting to me because I really do wish teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder could like go down to like G League and like we bump up somebody from G League to come up or something like that.
Arsenal is like the Philadelphia 76ers. Manchester United is like the LA Lakers. Liverpool is like the Celtics. Chelsea's like the Spurs. Tottenham's like the Bucks. Manchester City's like the Clippers.
So I've heard about, Manchester United. I feel like I've heard that before, actually, that they're like, I've also heard that they're like the Yankees. But I also feel a little bit bad rooting for like, I think it'd be more fun to like root for like a kind of bad team first.
Yeah. You know, every single, article there, this article has been done, many times on the internet.
Okay.
And every single one is different. So,
yeah.
You know, it's almost like you can't do a one-to-one relationship between a 20-team league that has three new members every year and a 30-team league that has stayed the same since 2004.
That's impossible. I deny that premise. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Will Chris Paul ever play a game as an Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yes, he will. Paul will play all season.
Ooh.
As an Oklahoma City Thunder.
Really?
Yeah.
Then this is going to be my favorite year of watching basketball of all time.
Because you won't have to watch any Chris Paul games.
No, because I will get to watch him eat shit for 82 games.
Oh, my God.
So you know what? League pass, Oklahoma City Thunder.
here's my thing. Is I do think that the Thunder will be better than catastrophically bad.
Uh-huh.
Because Chris Paul is good. Danilo Gallinari is good. Steven Adams is good. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is good.
Is Roberson healthy?
Roberson is supposed to be healthy.
And he's good.
Yeah. Raymond Felton is... what's that meme? Raymond Felton. And then you just say, Mike Muscala is fantastic.
Is Dennis Schroeder still on the team?
He is.
They have a decent point guard slot.
I mean, they have three
like starting level point guards.
And they have Raymond Felton.
Yeah. yeah. And Raymond Felton. You know, good for Raymond. I mean, it's kind of amazing that he's in the league still.
Yeah. I mean, he's stuck with this city, Oklahoma City team for, I don't know, 5 years now, something like that, 4 years.
So they're not going to be catastrophic, but they're going to be a lottery team.
Yes, they will be a lottery team. I think that they're probably going to, you know, be a top lottery team, but, you know, a lottery team nonetheless.
How depressed would you be if you're Sam Presti at this point?
I don't know. I feel like I would be a little upset that they weren't just still in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people would still want to be with the team if they were in Seattle.
Oh, I see.
Right? So, like, they moved to Oklahoma City, and nobody wants to be in Oklahoma City.
Right.
So Seattle's a place that people kind of still want to be in.
Right.
I feel like he might be thinking, man, if we just had never moved to Oklahoma City, then we'd still have Harden, Durant, Westbrook, Ibaka, and, you know, now we'd also have the ghost of Sean Kemp or something.
I wonder if he could rewind and... not do that Harden trade. Was that because they were going to have to sign him for a lot of money?
Yes. And the rumor is that he refused to take like a $5 to $10 million discount on the length of the contract.
Right.
And so they traded him.
But that was at the time, it was not like an urgent trade, right? Because it wasn't like he had another year or something like that.
He had 1 year.
Okay. So it was like, we're sort of moving him before we get stuck in this situation of a guy who, like, we want to move him before the last year, sort of, like, we don't want to be that, like, cutting it to the deadline, trying to figure out what to do with this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd just be interesting if they ran it back that 1 year.
Yeah.
I mean, put it this way. They had some deep playoff runs, but, like, it could have gone better, like, if they ran it back. Like, it's not like if they said, let's run it back and we don't get to have any of the playoff successes we've had for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You're not losing that much.
Yeah.
And you think they're going to end up, how many games do you think they're going to win? If they're going to end up fifth?
I think that they're going to win 30 games.
Okay.
By
the way, I'll say for Minnesota, they're going to win 37 games.
Yeah.
Because Andrew Wiggins is going to win 5 games by himself.
Yeah.
And then, Oklahoma City, I'll put at 31.
Okay. So we're not super far off.
Again, a reminder from last year, we haven't checked if any of our math works out for these things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we are doing this based on every single team is in its own universe, yeah, and they will win this number of games right, based upon
we're not doing it. You can add up all the win totals, and they probably don't work out.
No, and we found out last year when we added them all up that they were like close.
Did we add them up?
We did. Somebody added them up, wow, and they were close. They were like 25 wins off on the total of the season. All right. You ready? Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz.
By the way, Donovan Mitchell was on this FIBA team, right?
Yes, he was.
How did he do?
He was good.
Yeah.
But he was also Donovan Mitchell, which means that he had some quarters that he just like shot 0 for 5 and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, and he's got room to grow. I think he will grow. I think he will eventually be, you know, a Damian Lillard styled player in this league. You know, good impact, good player. You got to plan around him. I don't think he'll be as good as Damian Lillard, but I think that's the type of player
he will be. He's just had a lot of hype on him.
Yeah.
And probably too much, I would say.
You're not into the Spida D. Mitchell?
No, I'm not. But I will say that I think this team is good.
Yeah.
And I actually think they're going to... I'm going to guess that they're going to come in second in the division.
Woo! Because so you I really think the Bogdan Bogdanović deal is a killer one.
This is Bojan, right?
Is this Bojan? Wrong?
This is the guy from the Pacers.
This is the guy from the Pacers.
I love that dude. I think he's great.
Great.
And I like Mike Conley.
Yes. That's the one that we...
that's a
Bojan.
Great update. Upgrade, I think.
Huge. Huge.
So, this is the starting five. Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Bojan, Ingles, and Gobert.
Yeah,
like, that's a good team.
That's a good team.
Yeah.
Maybe we're hoping for kind of a bounce back year from Joseph Ingles because he had kind of a down one.
Yeah, I would say so. I just think this is what I do like about, especially with Conley and Bojan. This is such a scrappy team now.
Yeah.
This is like, this team will honestly, fight you. I will probably. I don't know why. I like Bojan because he was such a scrappy player against LeBron.
Yeah.
So
definitely, and he was scrappy because he just like kept getting in his face even after he was beaten over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then he like got him a couple of times. It was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
They've also got some like reclaimable projects on their team too.
Ooh, who?
They signed Moutier to a 1 year deal.
Right.
They have Ed Davis, who isn't a reclaim project. He's just like a solid bench player.
Right.
Jeff Green. They signed Jeff Green.
Yeah.
Jeff Green can do exactly what they need on this team, which is like be Jeff Green for 5 minutes a game.
Actually, Jeff Green is a good person to back up Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of like the opposite.
Yeah.
Like he's...
he looks good, but he's not. And then Joe Ingles looks not good, but he is.
Yeah. But Jeff Green can also have, you know, he can score 7 points in a row for no reason.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Like, I think this is a good, I think it was a good offseason for them.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that they're improved. I think they will fight for the division win here.
Ooh.
Because you know, like you, I don't super believe in the Nuggets.
I don't super believe in the Nuggets and I don't super believe in the Trailblazers.
right? So if we don't super believe in those teams, and we do kind of sort of believe in Utah,
yeah,
I think that puts them fighting for the division title.
Yeah, I would put Utah, I'm going to guess they're going to win 53 games.
I'm putting them at 55 games
this year. Hey, yeah. That might win the division.
Yeah, that's my talk of the town. 55
we're
wins
give a different,
for Utah.
Heading for each part of our conversation.
That's the talk of the town.
My shouts and murmurs is that we're only going to do New Yorker sections.
Yes, got it.
You want to move on to the Trailblazers?
I do want to move on to the Trailblazers. It is time to talk Portland.
Okay. I think that their time is done, and after one more year, they should break it all up.
Wow. But don't you know they re-upped and reloaded this season? They got good players now.
Okay, who do they add?
They added Pau Gasol.
Okay.
They added Mario Hezonja.
Okay.
They added, don't you forget about Anthony Tolliver.
Okay.
They added Hassan Whiteside.
Uh-huh.
And those five could definitely start for
a G League team?
Yeah, maybe.
They could definitely start for Serbia?
I mean,
probably couldn't.
I've talked about how much I hate Hassan Whiteside's play in many a podcast. I'm just going to double down on it.
Yeah.
Dude, fuck that shit. He's going to be so bad. I'm so
well,
upset.
The depressing thing about Hassan Whiteside is that you just like, it's always fun when someone talks shit. But like when they're so bad at backing it up,
yeah,
it makes it very depressing. Yeah. He had a good potential there to be Embiid's like nemesis.
Yeah. And he just
the problem was that he wasn't good at basketball.
That's it. That's the one.
But he was great at everything else about it. However, speaking of scrappy players I love, Hezonja.
Love
him.
Oh man, I drafted Mario Hezonja on a fantasy basketball team last year.
I bet
the
15th
pick.
Did not work out well.
You didn't. I thought he was going to have a chance to score 10 and get 4 rebounds a game for New York at the 15th pick on my team, and it didn't work out, and I dropped him immediately.
What's amazing is that given his production level and his skill level and talent, he still gets so many highlights.
Oh yeah.
I love that.
He's just like the human highlight. What's the word other than real? The human highlight dream? The human highlight passing thought?
Yeah, like it's like a human highlight, but randomly every 3 months you get a highlight.
The human highlight mirage.
Oh, I like that.
That is Mario Hezonja's new nickname. Congrats, dude. You got a nickname other than Super Mario, which is a terrible nickname for you because that was already Mario Lemieux's nickname.
Ah. I wonder if when you come into the game, you check into the game and you're not sure. I know that often you're like, who am I guarding? But you might also say like, who's guarding me? And someone says, he's on you.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I love puns. Puns are good.
I mean, that's not a twisted, tortured way to get into that pun. But
No.
I think that was very organic.
Yeah. Very organic. It definitely made sense. We were talking about Mario Hezonja. You had to do it.
Portland has the highest payroll in the league this year.
Well, it's because their team is the best team in the league.
Oh, okay. Because there's a one-to-one relationship between every dollar that you spend.
Yes.
You get one more point.
Well, that's one of the things that the CBA does not allow for.
Uh-huh.
Because every team is required to spend at least 90% of the cap.
Yeah.
So your worst team can at least have 90% of the cap. It's not like baseball where you can spend $0 on your team if you wanted to.
Right.
That'd be so funny if a team just like...
just was like, we're just getting kids from Little League.
Yeah.
And then
Oakland.
Well,
Athletics.
Because like one year they're just like, well, we're going to get these millions of dollars on season ticket sales that have already been sold. We could run a profit of like 90% if we just get these kids in here.
Yeah.
And also they don't have you can't draft a high school player.
Yeah. No, you can. You can draft anybody
right. Who's
eligible, which is, I think, 18. You got to be 18.
I think that... in my opinion, I think this should... first of all, I think 2 years ago should have been the last year that we ran Lillard and CJ out.
Okay.
As a duo. I don't think the upside of this duo is worth the fact that they are committed... both of them committed there for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So, as much as I say, like, they should blow it up, like, they don't really have any ability to.
No, they don't.
Now, they will have Nurkic.
They will sort of have Nurkic.
Oh, is he still hurt?
He's hurt. He'll be back in the middle of the season.
Okay. Oh, did he get hurt again?
No.
Or is he just so hurt that it's going
in? It was a big injury.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they will get Nurkic back at some point. They should compete for the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely up. They will, as a team, with Damian Lillard, compete for the first seed. To win this division, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't predict that they're going to, but they will compete.
Yeah, I think third place is good for them.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Division. I think they're going to win the same as they won last year with 53 games.
Wow. I'm going to put them at 51.
But 51.
That being said, I don't see plus or minus 5 games on that being unreasonable.
I think, right? I said Utah was going to win 54, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But, man, that means I think that Denver's going to win.
Yes, it does.
Like 55. And you said 55.
I said 55 for Utah.
All right. So, I don't know. I admire the Trailblazers a little bit for being like, hey, we're just a good organization. We put out a competing team. We sort of do right by our players generally. Yeah.
We have Neil Olshey.
Yeah. So, but they are, they're not going to do anything this year.
Nope. And the last team in the division.
My favorite team in the league.
Jamal Murray's very own.
Oh, boy.
Denver, the Nuggets.
The thing is, I actually don't hate the Nuggets. I just hate Jamal Murray.
Okay.
I like Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic is fun.
I'm
cool.
Indifferent to Paul Millsap.
Okay.
I have no feelings about anyone that plays small forward for them. Although, I will be, if Michael Porter Jr. gets to really play, I liked him in high school.
Okay.
And Gary Harris, I actually don't have any problem with. I just think that he was overrated for a while. And I think this year kind of showed that he was.
No, didn't you know he's a lockdown defender?
Yeah, he's a lockdown defender.
Like NBA Next Gen stats that prove that.
Lockdown defender and super high efficiency scorer.
Yes.
Except for this last season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
except for just one of the seasons he played.
Yeah.
But then again, he had some injuries, so yes. He could bounce back.
Yes, he did.
And those four players, Michael Porter Jr., Jokic, Millsap, Harris, fine. Great.
Yeah.
And Will Barton's fine.
Yeah.
Will Barton is literally on the Yahoo site listed as playing almost every position on the court.
Amazing. Here's my question. Who had the best home record in the league last year?
Ooh, was it the Denver Nuggets?
It was the Denver Nuggets.
Good Lord.
Right, which means that since they had such a good record, they actually lost more away games than they won.
Wow.
They were the only team that... They were not the only team. They were the only good team to win a division and lose more away games than they won. Because the Orlando Magic went 17-24 away from the old Amway Center.
And they did well at home?
Yes. I mean, they did well enough to... They were 42-40. They won their division, but they were bad.
I'm still amazed by that, though.
Yeah.
Wow, they really had a strong home court advantage.
Yeah. But apparently Denver does too. I mean, those Orlando Knights, man. You go crazy. You get Dwight Howard out there in Orlando, you're going to eat candy all night.
It's also the altitude in Orlando.
Yeah, it's tough.
You get to sea level and you're like, whoa.
We feel heavy and plodding.
Yeah.
Up in Denver, I can just jump so high.
Yeah, I guess that altitude thing is real.
Yeah. It is, and they protected their home court. You know, you get up there, you get used to it. I will say this, went to 2 weddings this summer. And one of them was in Utah, like high up in the mountains in Utah. And one of them was in Cincinnati near a river, very low. Had a much easier time dancing at the one in Cincinnati.
Ah.
They didn't get tired.
Well, let me ask you this. At either of these weddings, was your shot blocked?
Let me just say, one was for a shot blocker, didn't block a shot.
Ah.
And one was, he was also at the other one, and he didn't block my shot there either.
So this is the guy that still has never blocked your shot?
Never once in the history of the world blocked my shot. I took a picture of him at an art museum in Cincinnati, and there were just these, it was art of these very, very tall, tall people.
Mm.
And he looks very small, and I told him that these are the people who block his shot. So he knows, he doesn't have any beef with me. I just make this beef up because... Yeah. Now I'm trying to make a beef with him.
Right.
Trying to make beef history.
I wonder what the records historically have been of the Utah basketball teams playing in Denver and vice versa.
Interesting.
Because I wonder if they're like, altitude, we're deal with it all the time.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think...
That's the kind of thing I would like an intern to do. So we need an intern that'll work for free. By the way, we work for free too. So
I mean, yeah,
you wouldn't really be. Yeah, you wouldn't really be less powerful than us. but yeah, in the future, that's what we'd hire to the stats intern.
Yeah.
Just like look up all of the, because sometimes I get on NBA.com/stats and I'm like, I know what I want to get, but I don't know how to manipulate this thing to give me the thing I want.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the Utah Jazz all time are 115-80 versus the Denver Nuggets.
Uh-huh.
And then it doesn't have a home road.
So the problem is then split. we need a, what is their road record against the Nuggets?
Yeah.
And how does that deviate from their road records against other opponents? And how does that deviation compare to other teams in the same time period?
Are you trying to tell me that landofbasketball.com doesn't have all of the info I need here? This NBA, is a disaster.
NBA.com/stats. I was trying to figure out in this Westbrook thing. By the way, they were also saying how good Westbrook and Harden would be at catch and shoot this year. And I was like, really? It's hard to even find just like 5 years in a row of catch and shoot data on a single player. You have to like go year by year and add it up. And the argument was basically that James Harden is a very good catch and shoot shooter. Last year, he shot 41% from three on catch and shoot on 0.9 attempts per game.
Yeah, didn't he shoot like 38 on just step backs anyway? Something like
that. He generally, so all his catch and shoot stuff is like, this was the argument. Actually, you know, first of all, Denver, I think they're going to, you know what? I'm going to say Utah's going to win the division.
Okay.
So I'm going to say make Utah 55 like you did.
Okay.
I'm going to make Denver 54.
Great. Yeah. I've got Denver at 57 games this year. So I think they're going to win the division.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Let me put this question to you. And this would be a good question for people to write in with at our email, which is ruleofthreespodcast@gmail.com.
So it's like rule of threes, like, you know how we spell it on the podcast, but with a letter instead of,
yes,
sorry, a number instead of the letters for three. So ruleofthreespodcast@gmail.com.
You're the coach of the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Next year. You know that Westbrook and Harden are going to stagger minutes, but when they're on the court together, who is the primary ball handler? And I would like to hear arguments from our fans as well.
All right. My guess is Harden is the primary ball handler in the offense. And I am hoping that Westbrook just runs around the court and tackles people until he gets open. And then
you mean like he'd be like a strong safety?
Yeah. Kind of thing? Oh, yeah.
So I think that they're both bad options.
Ooh, you want Austin Rivers to be the point guard.
Ooh, actually, that's not a bad idea. Well, here's the thing is, no, that's a terrible idea. That's not just a bad idea. That's a terrible idea.
That's the worst idea anyone's ever heard.
I will say this, that I think Harden should be the primary ball handler as well, because he operated at like maximum efficiency, like historical efficiency as a primary ball handler last year. He's very good at it. It's a super boring style of basketball I don't enjoy, but in terms of scoring points, it's one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
Right? Combine that with the fact, though, that Russell Westbrook is one of the worst off-the-ball offensive players that we've seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for as primary as his influence is on a team, when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he literally just stands there sometimes.
Yeah.
So the idea that he's going to run around, like, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
Richard Hamilton. Is that a guy?
I mean, it was Rip Hamilton back in the day.
Yeah. You know, like he's going to run around like he certainly could run around like Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
He definitely has the motor to do so, because when he has the ball in his hands, he has the highest motor of any person in the league.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone contrasts more their motor with and without ball than with him.
That's an interesting thing. Cause even off ball on defense, he's, you know, inattentive.
Yeah. And he's inattentive.
On ball.
Oh, right. Exactly. Yeah. Like if he can jump a lane to try to get a steal.
Yeah.
Lots of energy.
Yeah. If he's just like, the ball is between two other people, he's not anywhere near, he zones out.
But the alternative is Westbrook is a primary ball handler, because he's very comfortable with the ball in his hands. He's not efficient offensively necessarily.
Yeah.
He does get a fair number of assists.
Yeah.
But also the question is that, what kind of offense is Harden capable or comfortable generating in 2 to 3 seconds?
Yeah.
That hasn't been his game for a while.
God, I mean, it's so interesting. I don't know. I truly don't know.
They, by the way, both are above. Harden led the league in length of touch last year.
Yeah.
That like makes sense. 6 seconds, and Westbrook was like 5. So the ball is kind of stopping with both of them.
Okay.
So anyway, if someone listening to this could solve this for us, and we'll just email it to Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, please let us know. We'd love to know. Let's hear it in the comments.
But yeah, we're back. We're going to be here every week.
Love it.
Get your... You know what? I'm still in the 2000s for my Lakers season tickets. Got my email about that.
Okay.
So I won't be getting a season ticket anytime soon.
But you might pick up a game or two.
Listen, the Clippers ticket office is still trying to contact me, leaving very personal, like...
We love your work on the UCB stage, and we know that they pay you a ton, so you might as
It's just weird, because they send you emails that are like, hey, Casey, I just wonder if you... Like, they're very... Like, a person wrote them. Like, yeah. And I get voicemails from, like, hey, you know, it's not automated. It's weird.
Yeah.
And I'm just still thinking about the absurd and, like, amazing fact that they actually did get the big free agent that they wanted.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll get a second big free agent. Chris Grace on the season ticket list.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't think there's a waiting list for them.
Ooh, really? Even still?
I think it's not that hard to get a season ticket still.
And, you know, you get your tickets now, then when they move to Inglewood in 2022,
right,
you'll have those tickets as well. And it's way harder to get to Inglewood from here than it is to get to downtown. So
that sweetens the deal. Yeah. And then you'll have season tickets for the future when all the good players leave.
Yeah, great. Yeah, love it. Let's do it.
All right. Well, we're excited to be back. We'll get into the division preview for you next week.
You got any shows? Are you going to take a week off while you're getting relaxed?
I'm doing Baby Wants Candy this Friday.
Ooh, congrats.
I think that's it.
Yeah. This Thursday, Spicy is no longer. That has ended. We're done with Spicy.
Okay.
But Evan and I have taken our talents to the clubhouse, and we are helping host the Deuce Ex Machina show, which with our addition has turned into Truce Ex Machina, which is 3 Prov at the clubhouse, 8 p.m. on Thursdays.
And Logan Everett?
Logan Everett, still first and third Thursdays. So Logan Everett will be next week. But this week I got Truces. And I got Saturday, I got a show with Pitch Please up at the Actors Collective in Burbank.
Nice.
Shouts out to Johnny, who came through and watched a Pitch Please show last month. Johnny Chang, who I had maybe one of the weirdest and most intense shows in the history of Pitch Please that I've ever done, where we did like a musical on war and everybody else was funny, but I was just very intense and angry anti-war. It was intense. I felt scary. It was like one of those fun like performances you get to do where you're like, I'm in this. I've like turned full like John Rambo in First Blood. Like, they drew First Blood, not me.
Cool.
So go see Last Blood in theaters now.
Yeah. The whole performance that you gave was just viral marketing. All right. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.